All right, welcome everyone. It's Sunday afternoon on Revolution Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal. I have a very special show today. I've been listening to this guy on YouTube for, I don't know, about 3.5 to 4 years now. Maybe as long as he's even been on. I'm not positive.
Wow.
Yeah, I've caught some of the early stuff. But everyone, I have a YouTuber on. His name is Payday Monsanto. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Payday.
I'm delighted to be here, sir. it's an honor.
Yeah, okay, kick your video back on. It kicked off again. See if it'll come back on. Payday.
Skype is acting quite weird.
It is. It's acting weird. Doggone it. Where in the world do we start? Payday Monsanto is a hip-hop artist, a rapper. I believe he's from the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken. If he's not...
I'm on the West Coast. I just got here in February 2012 from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Of all places.
Okay, but originally from the East Coast, but now he's on the West Coast. Payday Monsanto is, I believe it's... Somebody would... characterize his music as patriotic hip-hop, or I don't even know if there's a category for it, but if there was, he would have his own category.
I call it truth hop.
Truth
hop. People seem to have picked up on it too.
Yeah.
Truth hop.
Yeah, that's very nice. It is. You attack Monsanto.
I attack myself on occasion.
No, but you more you go after Monsanto Corporation a lot. You go after George Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, all those neocons. I think you've even gone after some Democrats too, haven't you?
I really don't distinguish between, you know,
left and right,
the Demopublicans and the Republicrats.
Republicrats, you know. Right.
And as far as Dick Cheney and Bush and you know, these are all, as Alan Watt told me years ago, these people are there to take the tomatoes. They're, you know, George Carlin even said it. It's a charade. The people who pull the strings are people we do not get to see on a regular basis, if at all.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well.
Henry Kissinger, you know, people like that.
It's a big New Brzezinski, yes. Yeah, that's the problem. The American mainstream media has everybody in such of a trance that most people don't even know that there is no difference between the two parties. And
by design, you know?
Well, certainly.
Anytime a third party, I mean, for Christ's sake, they kidnapped Ralph Nader, I think, in 2004 yeah. When he tried to attend one of the debates. That's the last thing they wanted. That's the last thing they want, is somebody speaking sense to represent a third party in a presidential debate, or really any debate, but
yeah,
primarily and, presidential debates.
Yeah. In 1992, they more or less threatened
Ross Perot.
Ross Perot told him he was going to kill him and his family.
Kill his daughter. And I think that set a precedent, because ever since Ross Perot got up and started talking, you know, with his charts, making lots of sense, you know, he's a businessman. This country is being run, as far as business is concerned, right into the ground. And it's deliberate. And they were scared of Ross Perot. As quirky as he was, I liked the guy.
Certainly they were. He, if I believe, I might be incorrect, but... I heard somebody say that he got up to around like 37% in the polls, and that's when they more or less come after him and threatened him.
Yeah, it was quite substantive, whatever he did. You know, I would say like maybe 19, but it could have been, went as high as 37 in certain places. But
yeah.
Then again, I don't know. But it was a substantial amount of people he persuaded to take a second look at this duality that they've foisted on the American people.
Sure.
It's incredible.
Well, it gets characterized as a false left-right paradigm, and that's virtually what it is a falsehood or a fallacy, some might call it. But tell me about your early life, Payday. Tell us what made you get into the patriotic hip hop or the patriot. I'm sorry, what'd you call it again?
Truth hop.
Truth hop. Yeah.
Yeah, I just coined that probably in 2007. But
did you?
You know, in the late 80s and early 90s, and I've told this story several times. I don't mind telling it again. Certain, you know, I would classify it as three different things. I got my hands on a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Philadelphia icon talk show host Irv Homer suggested it, who was a Jewish guy. He called himself the evil Irv Homer, the agnostic Jew. Philadelphia icon. Once he started questioning things like 9/11, though, they kicked him off. You know, he was a legend. It just goes to show the power when you start making too much noise. So it was that book. It was something I happened upon concerning COINTELPRO. That was like in 1990. And the attempt by the FBI to neutralize the Black Panther Party by any means. And, you know, neutralize it engulfs many terms. And I think definition one for me would be kill, whether figuratively or literally, you know. And I think that the third thing was just, you know, as I always say, George Herbert Walker Bush, just emanating unsavory vibes. You know, as a kid, I would look at this and say something is not right. You know, with this situation. And I didn't know at the time, of course, but you just, you know, your gut tends to tell you things. You know, when there's danger, it's your gut that I think that strikes you first. And something wasn't right with this character. And from there, you know, I would write write poetry and rap about just the way the world seems to be run by unsavory characters. I didn't quite know exactly, you know, the mechanism behind it, but there was a quest there to find out. And you know, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. But one thing I do know, I bet my left foot on, is that, you know, I think it was Benjamin Disraeli, Jewish Prime Minister of Britain, who said the world is run by a much different personage than, you know, what is seen by the public. And there's several statements, you know, along these lines. People, you know, I think it was Woodrow Wilson, who said, I've dealt with men in industry and politics, and, you know, I'm butchering it, but ... you better speak under your breath if you speak ill of these people.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it was Wilson, but, you know, regardless, people have come out. I know one thing Wilson said on his deathbed, apparently, is that he has unwittingly destroyed his country by signing in the Federal Reserve Act.
Yes, that he did. And I made a mistake. I need to apologize to one of my networks. I told them I was going to. I just turned them on. I'm also broadcasting on PSN Radio, too. So I want to welcome everybody over there on PSN Radio. I have Payday Monsanto on. Evidently, I told the network I would run the stream and totally forgot about it. So we're on
better
three different streams.
Better late than never.
Yeah. We're on three different streams now.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. But yes, the conspiracy does go way back. How did you happen to learn of this? Is it through people like Alan Watt and this gentleman you referred to on in Philadelphia?
Well, they were my early days. Granted, as far as the Irv Homer thing, you know, that was back in the late 80s, early 90s. Alan Watt, you know, in the early 2000s. You know, Alan's from Canada, so he has to be very circumspect about the things he says about the people. You know, it was Voltaire who said, if you want to know who runs your world, ask yourself who you cannot question. And in Canada, they have very strict laws. If you say the wrong thing, you could wind up in handcuffs if you talk about a certain privileged minority who seem to run everything, the cabal, and what I call the cabal.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, I do too. But as I mentioned in the Skype chat yesterday, many people don't even know what a cabal is. They keep asking me, what's a cabal? What's a cabal? I said, well, it's a group of minions that help the evildoers. That's the best I can explain it. And I've listened to Alan Watt from my very beginning of researching also, Payday, from 2009. Mm-hmm. I actually began all of this in 2009, not the radio in that, but my researching. And I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different hosts and hundreds, probably even thousands of shows, interviews, documentaries. It's just basically what I do from the time I get up till the time I go to bed. It's research.
Well, you know, my friend Mr. Azaziah is telling me neocons openly refer to themselves as a cabal, and, you know, it was Douglas Feith who said it. But, as far as the Black Panther, back to the Black Panther thing, the feds did literally kill Fred Hampton in his bed. His bed was blood-soaked. The bullet holes were coming, you know, from the outside. You could clearly see. They purposely botched the whole case, the Chicago Police Department. They murdered that man in his bed.
Yes, they did. Yeah, and they've had their hands on all of it. Well, the way I understand it, any black movement, well, not just the black movements, but the blacks are controlled by the FBI.
Well, now they've replaced this new Black Panther Party, its Ford Foundation, to death, like your La Raza is, like your Mecha, or, you know, Ford Foundation or their equivalent, whatever, you know, group that might be under that umbrella. You know, it's race baiting. It's a divide and conquer strategy that they use, and it divide and conquer just doesn't, you know, roll off the tongue, and that's not why it's so popular. It's a very effective method. You know, they actually sent letters. You know, I think it was Huey Newton between them guys saying, you know, that they, you know, this guy's gonna basically just dividing and conquering the Black Panther Party. That was one of the elements that they used to neutralize them. And just, you know, from that to plain murder, you know, and blame, you know, same thing with Malcolm X. A Muslim pulled the trigger, and that's by design, because they don't want anyone in government implicated in that. They'd rather have it done by a Muslim. Because when Malcolm came back from his pilgrimage, you know, he openly renounced, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and said that this guy was a pedophile, you know, and all other sorts of unsavory business. And there was a fallout between him. You know, I don't think it was enough to kill Brother Malcolm. I think he held a lot of respect still.
Well, so, The story also goes, Payday, that before he did have this pilgrimage you're talking of, he was teaching and preaching strife against the whites here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back, as you said, and he started to talk about maybe not causing trouble with the whites, but talking to them.
Well, he said he was kneeling. He saw himself, you know, kneeling beside blonde-haired, blue-eyed, you know, individuals, and that it wasn't about race, and they just did not like that.
Not at all. No, he was a darling. He was their darling poster boy until he started talking good and maybe reaching out and talking to white people, and that's
what. He totally rebuked Nation of Islam ideology
Yes.
And plus he aired out Elijah Muhammad's, you know, business with fathering all kinds of children. And, you know, you can see the sincerity in his face as he's saying these things. I mean, why doubt it? Because you look at his track record of just telling the truth and having, you know, a no-holds-barred candor about him. You know, he aired him out, and they didn't appreciate it.
No, he didn't.
You know, organized Jewry's group evolutionary strategy so masterfully put forth by Kevin McDonald, it's just ways in which they've organized an agenda to take over several facets, key positions and facets that are going to undoubtedly have a great effect, as you know, whether it be the banking, the media, the Hollywood, the money, the immigration to flood a country with a bunch of immigrants and basically deteriorate their identity, the homosexual agenda. Like, it's all organized Jewry behind this. And I like to refrain from saying the Jews. You know, if I say that, I qualify it with some, you know, the Jews who, I don't like that broad brush stroke, but it is international organized Jewry that I believe if that could cease tomorrow, within months, you'd see a change for the better worldwide, because they got their hands in everything.
Certainly.
And when you criticize these people, I mean, you can say, you can quote Jews, you can quote Jewish newspapers, and they'll still call you an anti-Semite, even though you're just quoting with something a Jew has said. You know?
Yeah, certainly. I believe it was Madeleine Albright was one of the people a dozen years or so ago, was on a interview, and she more or less admitted, and there was somebody else too, some prominent somebody that was high up in the Zionistic control system, said, "Yeah, that's one of our greatest little tricks. All we have to do is call someone an anti-Semite and put them in their place."
A Democracy Now with Amy Badwoman.
Yes, yes.
She's changed a little bit, you know, but, you know, that's Pacifica.
Right.
And the CIA bought heavily into Pacifica right after 9/11, and I think just for that purpose.
Sure.
You know, you can look up, you can see a map, even though it's old, I think it generally still holds a lot of water. Fake left, the left gatekeepers, and you'll see the map of where the funding comes from all these, you know, all from Mother Jones to Pacifica to the Nation. You know, it's CIA money.
Yes, it is. Yes. Speaking of 9/11 that you just happened to mention, wasn't a lot of your early music based on the false illusion of 19 Muslims flying?
It was. It touched me very, very deeply. The first song I wrote about it was actually called Twin Tower Tears. I don't think anyone's ever heard that, and that was. That was in October, you know, I mean, a month after it happened, and I was still under the trance that, you know, oh, we got attacked, you know, because it was a trauma-based mind control activity carried. I would never even release that without changing a lot of the, where I, you know, it only took 3 months for me to realize those towers falling. You know, no Muslims can get into those secure buildings. And Building 7 itself, which I think Flight 93 was destined for, but it never made it. You know, as strategically planned these things are, you know, there's some mistakes to be made. And at 5:20, they realized, you know, that building was loaded with explosives. They had to pull it.
Yes, they did. And Larry Silverstein said, he happened to mention that there's such a bad loss of life, and we didn't want to lose any more life, so the best thing to do was just pull it. And that's on YouTube video forever and ever, as long as somebody keeps downloading it. And
who's this fire chief he was talking to?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And anyone can bring up the video of the firefighters walking away from the building saying, everybody's got to get away, they're going to blow this thing up. Mm-hmm. And people just don't seem to want to get it. I think they got the three little monkey syndrome. One monkey has its hands over its eyes. The
hear other no, one, yeah, see no, hear no, yeah. Speak no.
And you know what? I've got a funny little analogy, Payday. If you've ever been out hunting, or anybody that ever has will understand this little analogy. You can be out in the woods hunting for deer, and you can see the deer walking along the trail, and maybe this deer picks up on you. You're off in the distance, but it doesn't really know. You know, it's mm-hmm. not real sure. Well, a deer, like other animals, will hide its head behind a tree, and this deer will think, just because he can't see you, that doesn't mean that you can't see him. And I think millions of Americans have this same type of deer in the woods mentality.
Like a baby, you know, or a toddler.
Sure.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
But I really wonder what it's going to take to awaken people out of this slumber, this Illuminati mind trance.
You know, I believe any thinking person in this movement hears the word cabal, and they see Federal Reserve, they see the people who run the media, those lobbies that raise tens of millions annually to buy politicians who will back, sponsor, and vote for policies that favor our great ally, Israel, who's attacked us numerous times. Great ally, you know what?
Yeah,
what,
supposedly what a great ally. Yeah, supposedly.
And, you know, not to mention the homosexual agenda, the immigration agenda, the push. You know, in Israel, this is verboten. You don't do that. But over here, it's allowed. It's all pushed by so-called Jews, and I say so-called Jews because I it's been proven that 90%+ of them don't even have the anti-Semitic lineage that they claim.
No, they're actually Khazarian.
And yeah, you know, there's been talk from a few people that trying to disprove the Khazarian theory, and the arguments they make to dispute it don't necessarily conflict with, you know. But either way, you know, Ashkenazi, Khazarian, you know, I think they hijacked the religion and made it their own because it's such a, I think it dates back, you know, tens of thousands of years prior to, you know, recorded history. It's just a book for a group of people to gain control. And, you know, Christianity is probably just something, probably the set, like, we're worshiping the 17th Christ, in my opinion. You know, there's so many people, prophets, who've walked on water from the house of bread. Their mother was Mary. Like, all these coincidences. And I think this book is just a book written by a group of people to, you know, say, hey, love your enemy, turn the other cheek, you know, while we, while we give it to you. Yeah. Love your enemy, turn the other cheek.
Certainly. Yeah, I think you happened to allude to all of these different religions having the same type of character as their messianic leader. Who knows? There could have been one, you know, one Jesus way back then.
Yeah, and I think Jesus was just a title, like rabbi, and as was Moses. You know, I was just recently, last night, I was reminded of the funeral of one Obadiah Yosef. He was buried in the largest funeral in Israeli history. Now, some of the things this gentleman has expressed, you know, like the purpose of Gentiles is to serve Jews. Goyim were born to serve us. Without that, they have no place in the world. Only to, you know, he said, in Israel, death has no dominion over them. With Gentiles, it will be like any person. They need to die. You know, like our donkeys die. We don't want donkeys to die. Donkeys, you know, they work for us. You know, this is his servant. That's why he gets a long life, to work well for this Jew. You know, why are Gentiles needed? They will work. They will plow. They will reap. You know, this is why Gentiles were created. And he said things about Arabs. How can you make peace with Arabs? How can you make peace with a snake? You know, and this guy got the largest funeral in Israeli history. A Jonathan Pollard celebrated, you know, is Israeli spy. He celebrated in Israel. So this is not our ally, people. For anyone listening to this now and in the aggregate, in the archives, you know, this is not your ally. They don't attack you. With the Levant affair, with USS Liberty, with 9/11, which was clearly a Mossad operation, you know, the King David Hotel, it just goes on and on. And yes, not only the physical attacks, we're talking about the attack on our senses, the attack on our children, the denigration through the movies they put out. You know, Muslims are stupid. Their religion is as ugly as they are, is what Mr. Yosef said. It's...
Yes, yes, he did. Continue. I'm not going to...
You know, they just, and it's replete. It's replete with this kind of stuff, like a million Muslims isn't worth a Jewish fingernail. Now,
well, anyone, he also said that about the Gentiles, too, though.
Yeah, See, people say, oh, you hate Jews, you're an anti-Semite. I don't hate Jews. Someone not familiar with what Judaism really is, that they get a pass. But when you know, like a Steven Steinlight, he said, he's the leader of the largest youth group, Jewish youth group. He said something like, yeah, I stood in front, I was made to basically be a nationalist for Israel. Jews are generally taught that they are the chosen people. Now, anyone with this belief who knows what Judaism is about, it's really Talmudism, because that's where it comes from. That's the Jewish, the holiest book in Judaism. Now, anyone who understands what this is and doesn't renounce it is a scumbag, in my opinion, because to call yourself the chosen people, no, that's not going to work with me. You know, it's what gives them the impetus or the chutzpah to knock on somebody's door with an Old Testament, with a Torah and a rifle, and say, my people lived here 2,000 years ago, get out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, imagine that. Imagine somebody knocking on your door and saying, hey, I used to live here, 100 years ago. My great-grandfather built this house. You're going to have to evacuate the premises or we're going to bulldoze. You know, the chutzpah that these people possess. And again, I don't want a broad brush stroke, but it's the ones who are aware of this ideology. Some Jews don't get taught this, and they just go through life thinking that Judaism is Judaism is Satanism when you break it down. You know, they get they worship Saturn. They celebrate on Saturday. Just from Hanukkah to Purim, all these things are based around destruction and murder.
Certainly.
You know, and a lot of things happen on Purim, if you noticed. Like we went into Iraq right when Purim started.
Yeah.
Because it's a ceremonious act, you know, to do these things on Purim for bloodletting.
Yeah, yeah. How far back do you go into researching then, Payday, in your life?
Just generally?
Yeah, when did you start researching? Was it just after 9/11 or before then?
It was right when I got my hands on the creature from Jekyll Island.
Okay.
Which is said to be a ripoff of Eustace Mullins' book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve. But, you know, either way, you know, Edward G. Griffin seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like one. Never met him before. I'd like to meet him, but he's getting up there in age.
He is.
Yeah, but tell you the truth, my whole paradigm was blown away just after Barack Obama got elected the first time in 2009. I seen this film by Alex Jones.
Obama Deception. He's another Zio Gandhi's gatekeeper, in my opinion.
He is, but he did help wake a lot of people up, though.
He did. But, you know, you got to watch his conclusion and, you know, his tangy tangerine. You know, I don't know. There's arsenic in that stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of, yeah, I hear there's a lot of bad chemicals in there. There's, And they're trying to cover it up, but
rat poison is really only 2% poison. So I think you got to watch these people and follow where they're leading you. And when you say things about those, you know, when you call people who research Israel a religion of hate and don't even distinguish between the serious revisionists and researchers. To make a sweeping indictment that they're scum and it's a religion of hate, it shows the true agenda. Upwards of 90% of his sponsors are Jewish. So he says one bad word, his career is going to come into question, heavy question, and he knows this.
Yes, he does.
But he puts out a lot of good information, you know, but at the same time, I think it's authorized information that you can get anywhere else. You know, there's poison in the water. There's fluoride in the toothpaste.
Yes.
They use, fluoride in the Nazi concentration camps, which really can't even be substantiated. I think you have a better time of substantiating the fluoride used in the gulags.
Oh, yeah.
No one ever talks about that. The 60 million Christians killed by the Jewish Bolsheviks, or the Holodomor, the Ukraine famine that was promulgated on the Ukrainians. No one ever talks about that. The real genocides. There are references to these 6 million suffering Jews, 230 plus, pre World War II, before anyone ever heard of Hitler. It's like a magic number. In the Talmud, it says they wrapped 4 million babies in cloths and burned them, and then they killed 16 billion. The numbers in the billions, forgive me. They just love these numbers. In my opinion, I don't want to upset any Christians, but the Bible is a book written by Jews to tell you to turn the other cheek and love your enemy and all that nonsense.
Give unto Caesar. Yeah.
While they fuck you with that, excuse me, while they stick that big,
big thing in your rear end, yeah.
Blue and white Israeli flag wrapped in a pole up your butt.
Yeah, exactly. yes, exactly.
Six million is a Kabbalistic Talmudic concept. It goes way back.
It is Payday. Yeah, there's a video that's circulating out there on the internet. It says 6 million Jews, and this sounds like a Scottish fellow. He takes 10 newspapers ranging from 1913 until like 1938 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 10 newspapers, and they have virtually the same article in them. And it talks about the 6 million Jews.
Suffering six million brothers and sisters. Oy vey.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Red Cross numbers, and they've rescinded this, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, 238,000 people died, or 278,000. That's horrific. You know, but why do you have to make it worse than it is? Because I'll tell you why. Because that's a Kabbalistic number. It's a Talmudic number, but they just want the trauma to increase. But these Jews died of starvation, basically. Germans were starving. And then they'll show you a big pile of shoes that belonged to Jews before they went in the gas chambers that never existed. And tell you, you know, that, yeah, these were German shoes donated to the concentration camp victims. The shrunken heads, the lampshades, the soap. Like this, any serious researcher knows this is bunk, but it still gets it's like that news story that comes out, and you know it's full of just fallaciousness. But it's, even though it gets proven wrong later, it still has it's done its job. You know, there's still people around here spouting this nonsense about lampshades, shrunken heads, and Jewish soap.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes, it is. Yeah, somebody already wants to call in, Payday, so I'm going to give out the Skype number. It's 347-688-2902.
And then not to mention the bombing of Dresden. Like, there was a Holocaust every day in the city of Dresden. You know, we're talking like 70,000 people you know, I may be wrong on the numbers, but we're talking about a Holocaust every single day when they were bombing Dresden. You know, that's nary brought up, as well as Hamburg, my friend Jonathan, my dear brother Jonathan, as Isaiah was saying. Upwards of 100,000 in Dresden.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Well, as most of us know, Americans most of the time, but people in general think with their heart and not with their head. They think with their emotions. They don't think with logic. So if somebody just says children are dying or people are dying, then people really
incubator babies.
Yeah,
people, that's all you need. That's all you need.
Exactly.
That story was proven false, like, you know, the next year, but people still think, you know, they killed babies in incubators.
Yes, they did. Yeah. And they don't even question it. It's
the damage has been done, Stephen. Once that gets into the psyche of the people who read it, there's nothing. It's gonna you know, even if it was front page news, they usually put these corrections, you know, on page 12, where nobody even gets to read them.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say something else there, but I got sidetracked for a second. But, yeah, I think Dennis wants to call in. You know Dennis Ford, right?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Ford.
Yeah, I think he wants to call in. I've given him a number, but if that one doesn't work, I'll give him another number.
Mind if I sprinkle some of this into my tobacco?
No,
oh, it's lovely.
Go on ahead there. But, anyways, yeah, we've got about 15 minutes before the break, and see if we can't get a call or two or three or four.
Yeah,
something.
Great.
I know there's a lot of people that want to talk to you. You're a big YouTube sensation, and I was really proud to get you. I was really glad to get you.
I'm honored, Stephen. I don't know about a sensation, but you know, I'm making some noise organically. I wanted to set out to do something organically, not market myself, not brand myself, just put it out there and hope it catches on.
Well, certainly.
And I think I did a fairly decent job. Now it's time to start branding myself and speaking out. I want to be more vociferous because it's only making me more passionate as these travesties continue to unfold, you know, every day. I don't even like, I'm so lost on the news. You know, I read little tidbits and headlines here and there, but
yeah,
you get desensitized to a point. I don't want that to happen. I want to focus on what I know to be true and expand my knowledge on it.
Yeah,
because it's just happening more. You know, there's a never ending barrage of these things that just keep coming out. We know the fundamental, you know. tragedy and travesties that they've committed. It don't hurt to keep up on them, you know, and have a cursory glance at what's happening. But I don't want to be too engulfed in this. You know, I know what they did. I know the history to a certain extent. I just want to expand my knowledge as best as possible on what I already strongly believe.
Yeah.
And some things I know. I don't want to sound arrogant when to say that. Yeah, well, I know. But
it's not arrogant. It's not arrogance. It's a truth. You know, people think it's arrogant, but it's not. You know, I know what I know, and you know what you know. It's not arrogance. Only ignorant people might call it arrogance. In my opinion, anyways.
I agree.
Yeah. But what do you think your chances are you'll ever get any kind of corporate backing or anything like that? Any kind of corporate mainstream music will pick you up or anything like that?
I don't even know that I've ever desired it.
No?
But things are changing. I think I might want to reinvent myself to get some seed money and then just say, you know, I'll see you later. Thanks. Now I'm going to go revert back. By the way, I used to be Payday Monsanto. You know, I'd like to reinvent myself and like hide the trail of my previous work just for a moment to get some a foothold and then some seed money to do my own thing on a larger scale. That would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but money's not everything. I'm finding that out.
No, it's certainly not, and that's what led me to the decision thus far. But you know, it is capital.
It is.
So it can allow you to do some things. It's not happiness, certainly.
No.
You know, but
now look at all these millionaire movie stars that are in drug rehab or killing themselves in that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think, you know, when I saw these three contracts, two namely that were quite lucrative. You know, there was a large part of me tempted to sign, but I didn't do it because there was a part telling me that I don't want to live in that world. Number one, number two, I don't know if I could have handled that kind of money. I probably would have self-destructed, especially if I surrounded myself with the wrong people. You know, so I think I'm able to handle a couple hundred million right now. I would do the right thing with it. You know.
Well, certainly. I know what I would be doing. I'd be funding the revolution, the non-Alex Jones and non-Coast to Coast, non-CBS, non.
Yeah, it's a distraction. Fox. And Mark Passio, I love him to death, but you know, I think Mark is a decent person and he has a decent presentation, but it's essentially replete with the same material throughout. Can appear, it's more diverse than it seems.
Sure.
You know, it's an evil system. Police are evil,
yeah,
intrinsically for following orders. Anyone who follows orders, evil.
Yeah.
Well, I agree, but
what do you do about it?
Trying to affect law enforcement and military, this solution or solutions he proffered, it seems utterly ridiculous on its face. If an incessant It's an incessant rambling around the same type of themes that lead me to believe that he's, in the final analysis, an unwitting distraction. I don't think he would ever purposefully attempt to mislead people. You know, I've had discussions with him. I met him in 2010, very knowledgeable individual. You know, the fact no one sitting around nary got a word in edgewise, because I think Mark Passio enjoys the sound of Mr. Passio's voice, frankly. You know, I've come to touch on the cabal and, you know, have a discussion with you and not talk at you and talk as if the people listening have room temperature IQ. This guy wouldn't let you get a word in edgewise and he's repeating the same thing. Where's the solution? Kids, if your dad's a cop, tell him that you want emancipation. Wash your hands of them. Wives of police, do the same thing. Divorce your husband.
Right.
You know, it's interesting to note that when you asked him if he ever tried to educate a police officer, he said, no, they won't listen. It's a distraction, if you ask me. And it's not wittingly. I like Mark. He's a good guy. Yeah. I just think, you know, he's caught up on this esoteria, former Satanism. You know, I thought I was going to hear Mark talk about the cabal when I tuned in.
Yeah.
You know, he just he filibustered you, essentially.
I never got a chance to ask him about it.
Yeah. You never got a chance to talk. Every time, and you can clearly hear that, he could clearly hear that he heard you. He's just like, nah. You know, he's talking like, okay. Like, you know, like the audience has a room temperature IQ, like I said. You know, right. He wasn't talking to you and to us. He was talking at us.
Sure he was.
He's a fiery individual. I'll give him that.
Yes, he is. And I was only able to get him on because I can't get guys like Jordan Maxwell and David Icke and Michael Tesarian on.
You could get Jordan? I can give Jordan a call. Would you like him?
You could get Jordan for me.
I can hear you. I'll be right back.
Well, that would be a good show, sure, if I was able to get a word in edgewise with him, too. But
no, you would.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're serious.
You would. Jordan's a very nice guy. Him and Anthony Hilder, you know, say what you will about them as far as the organized Jewry situation, but they know.
Yeah.
They know, and I've had personal discussions with them both.
Okay.
I think they try to skirt around the issue a little bit, perhaps, because they know where they're standing could wind up if they start making too much noise. You know, like look at a Rick Sanchez or a Helen Thomas. This lady's been she interviewed Abraham Lincoln. This woman, you know, she's been there. And then she says one thing,
yep.
Go back home. They take the award away from her. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yeah,
they call her an anti-Semite, and she's a Jew.
And she's yeah. Lebanese. Yeah, she's a Semite.
Exactly.
Bizarro, yeah. Stephen.
It is.
Mr. Roberts.
It is.
Bizarro world.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you don't bite the hand to feed you, no matter how mad you get. Look at what they almost did to Mel Gibson about 6-7 years ago, whatever it was. They almost crucified him, and he hasn't really done a whole lot since then either. So who knows?
Yeah. She's Syrian and Lebanese. I don't know if
maybe
inadvertently called her Jewish. She is a Semite.
Okay, I see.
Nonetheless, you know.
Yeah, that was my mistake there. I don't know.
It's so jumbled. There's so much, and see, that's a tenet of the protocols. Now, it's not an ear. Anyone who reads it can see it's not an earlock meeting of you know, people getting together. It's, you know, it's like a 1984. But a tenet of the protocols, one of the many, is to just bombard them with so much information they don't know. You know, they don't know what to believe.
Yeah, you're serious about
that's
Jordan
what your
Maxwell.
News does right.
Sure.
It's like there was an attempted terror attack at so-and-so international airport. By the way, we'll tell you how to cook a turkey coming up on this Thanksgiving. You know, they jumble the things together, like, and they lessen the importance just to keep the fear in your mind. You know, we'll teach you the perfect chicken Alfredo recipe right after this. And before that, they're talking about the terrorists. A potential terrorist attack,
right?
You know, to conflate the two and make them and try to, like,
don't forget you're afraid.
Yeah, don't forget you're afraid, and here's the perfect recipe for chicken Alfredo.
That's right,
coming right up.
Brought to you by the terrorists. Well, we only have about 4 minutes until we get the break, so I don't want to get cut off on any big topics or anything, but. You just said a few minutes ago that you could get Jordan Maxwell. You're really good friends with him.
If his number no longer exists, is no longer in order, I can contact Anthony Hilder, who I just spoke with. He had his number for, you know, 30 years, the same number. So I can get in contact with Jordan through Mr. Hilder.
Oh, okay. Didn't he just have a stroke within the last few years or something like that?
I believe so. He wasn't too forthcoming on it, and at least, you know, for the time, he had other things he wanted. He said, I'll tell you about that later, yeah. Willie from Philly.
Yeah.
And we never got to it.
Yeah. I watched a lot of his videos, and the last thing I seen, him and a young woman were interviewing somebody, and he did not look good, and he sure didn't sound very good.
He was trembling a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
that too, and that's what prompted me to call him. But I'll tell you what, I'm thinking maybe he was tired or something, or I don't know what happened, because when I spoke to him, he sounded just like his old self.
Huh, well, that's good.
He didn't sound like he did in that video. I couldn't see him, but...
Right.
You know, yeah, that scared me, because it had been a while since I spoke to Anthony Hilder, and when I saw that, I had to give him a call.
Sure, absolutely. Just last year, you come out with an album that had a lot of good songs on it, didn't you?
Missiles with Relish?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. It's gonna take... All my friends say they like Atana Mooley and the Patton, but more and more are coming like, yeah, this missile... It takes a while to dawn on people, you know, and especially if you're not Jew-wise. Not all my friends are Jew-wise. And as I give them references to what I'm talking about, they say, oh, you know, that. But, you know, I'm proud of Missiles.
Sure, sure, absolutely. And you should be. A lot of good material on there. I wish I could have...
That was that Ovadia Yosef guy who said, we will send them missiles with relish.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a guy, huh? What a guy.
That's
right.
Largest
funeral in Israeli history.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I wished I could have coordinated with somebody earlier and been able to have played one of your songs. That would have been nice. I know they needed permission from you, and I just didn't think of it. I was gone the entire day yesterday. I should have thought of it then, but...
You got it now. It's not copywritten or anything, so...
Yeah. But it would have to be passed over to the studio. The studio has to play it, not me.
Maybe next time. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, maybe next time. Certainly we can.
I find you a very affable individual, and I'm, you know...
Yeah.
Pleased to be here.
Well, all right, everyone. There's my break music. We'll be back in about 7.5 minutes. Vinny Mazzano. All right, and welcome back, everyone. We're here after the break. I need to say right off the bat, like I normally do, we are listener-supported, so please go hit that donate button. We only got a few days left till the end of the month. Not sure where we are as far as the monthly fees that we need to... Okay, we still got about $400-some-odd to go. 8 days left. How are you supporting yourself, Payday? Do you sell your records, or do you have any kind of a label?
No, I do it independently.
Do you? Okay. How does that work?
Yeah. I just put my stuff out there on iTunes.
Okay. People buy it off of iTunes then, huh?
Yeah.
Are you doing any good that way? Are things working, or?
Yeah, it's all right.
Better than some, not as good as others, right? as the saying goes. Does somebody just search up Payday Monsanto on iTunes and bring your stuff right up?
Yeah, they can do that.
Okay. Well, I suggest everybody go. I would like to have played a song. I still would like to, if I could talk somebody into doing it. This is a paid studio, and that we do have to get permission. But Payday has given us permission, but we still got to get the owner of the studio to give the okay. I lost him there. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, I lost you there for about a second. What are some of your favorite songs you've ever written?
I don't know. They're like my children. It's really hard to pick my favorite song.
Yeah.
Maybe Everything's Under Control this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, I'm still a little bummed that we couldn't get this video to work. I took my other laptop here, and it's bumming me out.
I know.
I thought we were going to do a video interview.
I've seen you try to turn that thing on like four or five times now, and it just flickers. And something doesn't let me, something's not letting it go. I'm not sure what it is. Skype isn't letting it go for some reason. That's for sure. But
interesting.
Yeah, I wanted to do video. People like the video, but your photo you have up there, whatever you have holding in your hands there, it's showing on the video screen.
Yeah, it's a wave drum my friend got me for my birthday.
A wave drum, okay. That's a electronic drum?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I also see the one photo you had up on your Skype the other day. Is that your little boy you have with you?
That's my little girl. It was a little
I'm sorry.
Bright. It was a little bright, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have just one child, or you have two, or more?
I have two. I have a 3-year-old and a 21-year-old.
Wow, that's a big difference. I didn't even... a 21-year-old, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, I guess I should ask you your age. Do you want to tell everybody your age, or should I even know?
Yeah, I'm 51.
Wow. Okay, you're...
I'm 38. I'm sorry. I'm just dodging.
51, 38, okay. Okay. All right, you got me there. I was going to say you only looked like you was in your mid-30s. But when did you actually start doing or think about doing hip-hop, writing songs and singing?
12.
Yeah, okay. What was going on back then? Who were your influences back then?
A guy named KRS-One.
Okay.
Public Enemy.
Sure.
X-Clan. Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of them songs go back a long ways. KRS-One is a big truth hip-hopper, isn't he?
Well, he was.
He was?
I don't know about... He's doing Sprite commercials and the like.
Goodness. You think he's... you think he went over to the dark side?
Not necessarily. I think he's just a smart businessman who knows what's going to happen.
Huh. Wow.
If he doesn't play ball.
Yeah. What do you think happened to Tupac and Biggie? You think they didn't play ball?
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Yeah, it's really a shame because I think, well, I know Snoop Dogg has been doing a lot of corporate stuff here lately. He's been on, what's that woman's show, that cooking show? I don't even know.
Martha Stewart?
Martha Stewart, yeah. He's been doing commercials and stuff, and he's been doing anti-gun stuff, too. He's been doing PSAs for anti-gun. That's their big agenda. They bring out some megastar and tell all the kids and all the people to get rid of their guns, and then they turn around and make a movie or a video with the guns blasting away in them.
Hey, can I restart my computer? I'm having conflicts here. It'll take 2 minutes.
Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, there's a big conflict. I'll call right back.
All right. Yeah, hopefully it's not too big of a problem. Well, if anybody doesn't know, at the start of this second hour here, I have Payday Monsanto on my show, and he's having some kind of a problem, computer glitches or something. He's just doing a reboot here, a restart, I think, see if it's going to take care of the problem, but, he's a hip-hop artist, mainly on YouTube and iTunes, like he explained, and he does a lot of stuff against Monsanto Corporation. He does a lot of stuff to try to expose 9/11 truth. He just does a lot of truther stuff. And as he happened to mention in the first hour, he goes after the Zionistic control system. Some might debate that it's a Zionistic control system with the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and some of the other groups, some of the European groups that still wield a controlling hand over the American system. Some might also debate that it's a still run by the right hand of Rome and the Pope. Some might also argue that it's still run by the Queen, Queen Elizabeth, over in Britain. I would really be curious to find out what the actual whole truth is. I don't know. I'm not privy to all that information. If I were, it would take a lot of research, that's for sure. But I'm just trying to wait here and see if he comes back or not. Well, I'm sure he's coming back, but might be a minute or so. Sure would have been nice to have taken another break right here. That would have been good. But anyways, he shouldn't be all that long. In the next hour, I do have another interesting guest coming on. He's an entrepreneur. He's started about six different corporations. And the one he's currently running right now, the one he started, is a... all right, let me see if I can bring him in.
Tell me we're working there.
Your video is trying to come on. But I do have you back.
Well, that's good.
That sucker is just spinning. What kind of complication were you getting?
It was telling my CPU was running at 100%.
Wow.
And it was making a lot of noise. Still spinning?
Yes, it is. Do you have a lot of things running?
Nothing running.
Just your Skype.
Just the Skype, yeah.
Nope, I've just got, I don't know, your video's still trying to come on. Is your CPU still running hot? Still running hard?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of jabbering on there for a couple minutes about the about what's going on and what I have coming up, but I don't know. I'm still waiting on that one caller. See if he wants to call in. He said he was at work, Dennis Ford. But anyways. Do you have any research that shows other than Zionistic control? Like, I wanted to debate you on maybe the, a lot of people seem to think that the Vatican.
Jesuits?
Well, the Vatican, the Jesuits, and the Rosicrucians.
Well, the founders, the three founders, Ignatius Loyola and the other two, were crypto Jews.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
Okay. That's pretty wild. I think it's pretty wild what's going on over there in Rome right now. You've been following that?
I'm sorry?
Kevin Bell is professor of psychology at Cal State University, Long Beach.
Sounds like a video's coming out or something there.
Yeah.
Have you been following what's going on over there in Rome?
No, I have not.
Hmm. Well, there's a man. He's a Canadian. His name is Kevin Annette. He's single-handedly forcing the issue, I think, over in Belgium or something like that, or where the International Tribunal Court, they're trying to bring to justice a lot of the cardinals and even the former Pope Francis for crimes. Mm-hmm. crimes on humanity. There are some witnesses that they have over there that have been testifying over the past like 6 to 8 months that Pope Francis and some of the other cardinals over there have covered up child sexual abuse, and they've also covered up ritualistic killings too. And they're trying to bring these people to justice.
Hmm. No, I did not hear about that.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty wild what they're doing over there. But he's currently back up in British Columbia, Canada right now for a little bit until he goes back over to Europe. I've always wondered. I was saying there while you were gone. I wonder if there's a big smokescreen and there's another whole totally group that's even unknown that might be in control. You have any evidence of this or anything like that, or?
Besides organized Jewry.
Yes, exactly. Do you think maybe that's a smokescreen?
It could very well possibly be, but I think the extent that it's grown, if there is, they're just more, they're just more Jews behind it who are just, better cloaked.
Sure, okay.
So-called Jews.
Yeah, Khazarians or or the other group. Yeah. Why do you think these Khazarians are calling themselves Jews?
Well, I think they hijacked a religion that is beneficial to the usury. To do away with usury is a major step and a deleterious step to their control, in my opinion. Once you do away with that, the possibilities are endless. Once you don't have to pay that, and there's not even anything wrong with interest when it's fair, but mind you, a Jew charging interest on another Jew is forbidden.
It
just
is.
Just like a Jew telling a Gentile about the inner workings, it's the Misera law.
Sure.
You can be punished heavily if a Jew gives away the secrets, a Talmudic Jew, to a non-Jew. You can be greatly penalized.
Certainly, yeah.
Including death.
Wow, that's something I hadn't heard of.
Yeah, Misera, I think it's M-I-S... U-R-A-H, Misera. Yeah, it's forbidden. It's just like the Kaldre, whatever that's. It's a prayer, but it basically says, don't inform. It's a Jew's prayer to where he can lie to a non-Gentile. It gives him. It absolves him from lying, him or her.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's a lot of things I hadn't heard. A lot of interesting stuff I hadn't heard. But that's not really my study as far as the researching I've done. Tell you the truth, my research has just been in the media and that trying to expose the media. I've gone to journalism school. I have one degree in journalism and working on a second one. Not working very hard on the second one, but I am working on it. And that's what mainly brought me into this this whole forum here is exposing of the American media, exposing of the media in general, but the American media. That's what most of us know mostly because we are here in America, and I can't really attest to the European media because I haven't been over there yet, and I hear from others over in Europe that it it is a little bit better than the American media, but not by much. You ever been overseas or anything like that?
No, I have not.
No, I haven't either. I've only been into Canada and Mexico myself, so that's all I can attest to.
Been to Canada.
Yeah. I know it's almost like a European country in some areas, but not really. But I'd like to go overseas someday. Meet a lot of people that I've met on these shows and that. That would be a good thing. But I'm not so sure that my airplane, I don't know, it might not make it over there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I caught, you believe in numerology or anything like that?
I don't think it's an accident. I think there's an order of operations up there. You know, I do not think that Egyptian structures were built just, you know, for shits and giggles,
right?
Because they knew about the star system. So, in a sense, you know, a friend of mine recently kicked me off the fence as far as numerology and combinations and what's written in the stars.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I was on the other side of the fence actually. She pulled me over.
Who is that?
Just a friend of mine from England.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no worries. I've got a lot of friends that are actually into that, and they believe wholeheartedly into it. I guess I'm on the fence. One of them people that are on the fence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what to believe. I guess again, a lot of people think that they work a lot of the conspiracies on numerology. They only do certain things on certain days
or certain months. Well, you know, the zodiacs in your Bible, of course, a lot of it's been redacted, but a few things still remain, you know, like the Maseroth. But it's forbidden for people who study the Bible to even get into that, yet it's in their own book. So, scant as it has become, but I heard, it's my understanding it was heavily throughout the book, and they've taken, you know, with the revisions, they've taken a lot out. But they didn't take that word Maseroth out, which means zodiac.
Huh. Wow, okay. Guess we do have a call. Wait a second here. Hello. Okay, that was quick. Somebody tried calling, but then hung right up. Just decided they didn't want to get on the group call. All right. Not sure what that was, but anyways. We were discussing the... I'm sorry, what were we talking about then?
I think it was...
numerology, yeah. Wasn't it?
Astrology.
What is your take on it then? I mean, what have you actually learned about it?
Haven't learned much other than experiences and stories that, you know, two people in the last 2 weeks walked up to me and asked me if I was a Capricorn.
Yeah.
With utmost, you know, confidence that I was.
Right.
So that's pretty scary. It took me aback a bit.
Right.
Like, out of the 12 things that you could say, why Capricorn?
Right. Out of the 12 astrology signs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I even guessed my birthday within 2 days.
They can, you say? Or they did?
They did.
They
within
did?
2 days of my birthday.
Yeah. Just from what, your actions? Or your...
My demeanor? I don't know what it was.
What you were saying, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty strange.
Yeah, I've got this one friend. First time he asked me, he asked me what my sign was, and I said I was a Taurus. Oh, Taurus, oh, you're this, 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 and that, and the other thing. Well, I guess maybe a little bit here and there, but not totally. But, you know, I didn't get it. I still don't get it. Don't really know what it means. Sure if I want to look to. Not even sure if I want to look into it. I know that President Reagan back in the 80s ran a lot of policies off of astrology and that,
mm-hmm.
and numerology.
Nancy relied heavily on that. As does Tony Blair. I heard he rolls around on the floor every morning.
Summoning
spirit guys.
I wonder what spirit that is. Beelzebub or Baal or who? Or, what's the other one?
Mephistopheles?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But yeah, I've heard about, I've heard Prince Charles has also done some very, very weird stuff. But
Someone just told me a few weeks ago, I'm not a Satanist. I'm a Luciferian.
There's a difference, huh?
Yeah. Apparently there's a difference.
Apparently. But I really hope that, this court that I was telling you about, they're also, I think they're looking into trying to bring down Prince Charles and Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, too. I think they've got indictments and cases going on against them.
Yeah, she's a figurehead, you know.
Oh, you think she is?
Absolutely. She does, you know, own this land per se, but there's somebody behind her. She claims, and her cohorts claim to be from the tribe of Dan, I believe, which, you know, they think they are the Jews.
Huh. I thought they originally came from Germany or Germanic backgrounds.
Well, you got the Sachs, Goldberg, Gotha,
yeah.
You know, the three elements there. I think it's a, you know, They're indebted to the Rothschild family, no doubt, as my friend Isaiah says. And Rothschilds finance British imperialism. They're the ones behind the the militarization of Muslims.
They were also the ones that that the Queen sent into China to take over the opium trade over there.
Mm-hmm. And get them all hooked.
Yeah.
Same thing we're doing with with Afghan. Heroin production increased 90% since America has been there. I was about to say we.
Yeah,
that's a bad habit.
It is.
Since the American mercenary forces have been there. Yeah,
exactly.
And regarding the heroin.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what get it. That's what gets people. I can tell people that. I've told my stepfather that. I've even showed him that video of Geraldo Rivera out in the poppy fields with the American military and the sergeant, whatever he is. He says, "Yeah, we don't really like it, but we're guarding the opium for these people over here. Otherwise, they would starve and they would be penniless." And
It was actually the Sassoon family, you know. If we don't look good, you don't look good.
Right.
Shampoo people.
Sure.
You know, a Jewish family from Baghdad controlling the Chinese opium trade.
Is that what that was? Huh.
Apparently, that's my understanding.
Wow. That's some interesting research there. But, no, I don't, I really got to pick your brain on all this. You got a lot of knowledge on what family controls what, then, don't you?
Well, I get help. I just got help from the great Jonathan Isaiah on that. He's giving me the little tidbits.
Oh, okay.
As I ask him to, you know, primarily to correct me if I happen to say something wrong, and you know, just give me a little additions, factoids.
Right. Huh. Okay. Well, I guess we could get back into your music, Payday. What kind of music are you? Are you writing some more? You going to do some more here pretty soon, or
every day?
Are you?
Even every single day. If not on, you know, being recorded or on paper, in my mind.
Okay.
It's a nonstop endeavor.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could play this little thing that you sent to me today. Why don't you go ahead and explain
it? Cancel the Cabal. You gave me the impetus and the inspiration for that. I love that title.
Yes, I did. I don't know what it was about. I don't know. 5 or 6 days ago, he sent me a little MP3 file and said I inspired him. It's only about 90 seconds long, but it's called Cancel the Cabal. And it's pretty nice. It's sweet. I like it. I'm going to play it on the other networks. I haven't got a chance to hear, but I will. I'm going to play it maybe as an intro or a outro, one or the other.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. Explain a little bit about that little 90-second song there, if you will.
Well, it was an impromptu. I got the email from you prior to going to work, I believe, and then when I got there, I was going through some of the beats that I made, and I said, you know, I had already thought of what a great title that would be, and I heard the beat, and I said, you know what, this sounds like a Cancel the Cabal song.
Yeah. What do you actually do for a living then? If I may ask.
No, not at all. I basically work in a warehouse that processes a Southeast Asian leash that is beneficial to, you know, many people. It gives them comfort. It's called kratom.
Okay. Kratom, what is that then? If I may also ask.
Well, it's a Southeast Asian plant, and it satiates the opioid receptors, but it doesn't have any opium in it. It's actually been credited with getting people off of
opiates. Yeah.
Opiates. Yeah. You know, it heroin satiates your opiate receptors without doing the deleterious damage.
Okay.
That a heroin would do. And you can, if you Google it, if you Google that next to heroin addiction, you'll see tons of people, you know, saying that, wow, they had me on methadone all this time, and here I try this kratom. Now, the majority of people, I think, take it just as a tea for relaxation purposes. But, you know, it has a few purposes.
Huh, okay.
I find it enjoyable once in a while.
Yeah. Is it a FDA-approved thing?
Well, the FDA just put out an alert on it because I guess they're hearing of the successes people have been having.
Certainly.
You know, with
getting,
with
off,
getting off of the Suboxone and methadone and stuff, and they don't
certainly
want that.
No, they don't. They don't want anyone cutting into their into their profits, or the CIA's profits, anyways.
No doubt.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, right after this interview with you, I have a man on. I think he's down in South Carolina. His company has just come out and marketing some kind of a hemp product. I'm not sure whether it's just in a oil form or pill form or what, but it's supposed to be very, very good on healing a lot of things, and I'm going to be talking to him. And
would it be Hemp USA?
No. It's okay. Not that. It's definitely something else. It's
gentleman out of Canada.
No. He's out of South Carolina.
Hmm.
But this is just very, very new. Within the last couple of months, they've been FDA approved, and I don't know. That's a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's suspect in itself. I hope it's not a a perversion of what they're, because, you know, you can cure stage four brain cancer with the right cannabis oil.
Sure,
and cannabis, you know, cannabis hemp, there seems to be a little confusion, but they're a distinct, you know, if you get what is called CBDs, cannabidiol, it's not the thing that gets you high, it's the more medicinal aspect of the plant. It's really a wondrous thing.
Well, that's one of the things he was talking about.
Yeah.
The CBDs.
And it leads me to believe that they knew about this a very long time ago in the Harry Anslinger days, and they were just trying to scare people with the evil Mexicans coming in and raping the white women.
Oh, certainly.
And they knew, but they knew about the medicinal properties of this. It's my belief.
Yeah. Well, they know a lot, they knew about a lot of things many, many years ago, and they put the hush on them.
Oh, yeah. You can go back. You can see, you know, little tincture jars and salve jars from, you know, 1800s, you know, hemp. It was a very effective, a very effective tonic for, and the medical community actually embraced it when they were free to do what, you know, they thought was beneficial to their patients. Now all their textbooks are written by big pharmaceutical corporations who, you know, teach them to scoff at stuff like that. Well, I've cured myself with, someone will tell their doctor, I've cured myself with this stuff, and they'll scoff at them and tell them it's a spontaneous remission or something, and just walk away and laugh at them.
Well, certainly, yeah. I've heard stories of people having this stage four cancer, like you're saying, or some kind of a cancer that was supposedly incurable, and their doctor sends them home. And one particular story I've heard of is a older man goes back to his doctor after curing himself with some type of alternative medicine therapy. And he goes back to his doctor. His doctor checks him out, and he's cancer free. And his doctor asks the older man what he did, and he tells him. And his doctor says, "Well, that stuff doesn't work."
That's poppycock.
Yeah, that's poppycock. It doesn't
pish
work.
Pish posh.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what they'll tell you.
And as the story goes, the old man went home and died that evening of cancer. But I don't know. A story's a story. A lot of things are also in the mind too. The mind can be a powerful thing.
Absolutely.
On whether you get cured.
Thoughts, just, you know, genuine thoughts can change molecules.
Certainly
in your body.
They can.
They can change your physiology.
Certainly they can. Yeah, we are, speaking of that, science really doesn't know what holds a molecule together, or the
isn't that something?
Yeah, I think it's something like 99.7% of the atom is nothing but free space, free and open space.
They'll pretend they do, though, huh, Stephen?
Yes,
if they don't know the answer, they'll make one up. I call it a Rush Limbaugh isms.
Rush, yeah.
You know, this guy don't know. He'll tell you that he does. Like
that's,
you know,
right.
Talking about, I remember one thing he said years ago, and I used to listen to him just to monitor him. You know, and I, not even that I subscribe to this global warming thing, but I agree with him on that when he says, well, I disagree with him on that until he recanted later when he says, that's the ice glaciers melting are ridiculous. It's like having a glass of water filled with ice cubes and the ice cubes melt. It's not going to make the glass overflow. But what he neglected to you know, understand is that like 70% of the glaciers are on land. You know,
right.
So it's not like having a glass full of ice cubes. It's, you know, it's like having a bucket full of ice cubes and then dumping them into the full glass.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. People just make stuff up as they go along.
Yeah, well.
And these people, unfortunately, happen to be the experts and the pundits, which is, you know, it's a great characteristic of and contributing factor of why we find ourselves. We're listening to experts telling you, as Alan Watt once said, he heard something about telling you how to change mothers, how to change a diaper. Like, this is how stupid we've become as a society. How to change your baby's diaper at 11.
Exactly. Well, there are some toddlers in, well, I won't get into that.
My toddler can do it herself.
Yeah.
Virtually.
Yeah. Well, there, I know some 10-year-olds that have to wear diapers because they, I don't know, they're so messed up in the head they can't get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, like I said, I didn't want to get into that. But no, you were talking about Limbaugh. I found out years ago that I used to subscribe to him when I was caught in the right-wing paradigm. But I found out that he was a blowhard.
Yeah, so I'm from a leftist cast, and you know, I echo those sentiments. You know, I came over. You know, I grew up listening. Not that I have anything wrong with Michael Parenti, but you know, like a Democracy Now. I was from a liberal cast, and not only until you know, even into the 2000s, did I start to see a more sterling picture of how they are one in the same. I mean, Barack Obama's biggest contributor was what, Goldman Sachs.
Yep.
And they, you know, they give to each candidate so they're in their pocket. Now, Jesse Ventura, for instance, he raised $300,000 to his opponent's millions, and he was running on one of his planks was, I will not accept money from special interests. And that just, like, went over so well with the people of Minnesota. And he got elected by a landslide on $300,000 from the people. So, you know, his obligations were therefore to the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also heard an interview with him one time where he was in the pre-election debates with a few other candidates, and they walk up to the podium there, or they walk up to their desk, whatever it is, and they have just files and files of notes that they're looking at and reading from whenever somebody asks him a question, and he walks up to his podium with a glass of water, and he doesn't have any notes, and somebody asked him what the deal was, and he said, well, you know, if you don't lie, you don't need to go
exactly.
over your notes.
Exactly.
You don't need to go over your notes. At least you don't have to try to remember which lie you're going to tell next. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
that's the way the story goes.
Isn't it something?
Yeah, it is. But I would certainly love to be able to figure out how to awaken somebody and then bottle it, because we need to start a movement.
Mm-hmm.
A grassroots movement that's not going to be co-opted by some kind of a mega corporation.
Absolutely.
What about your Philadelphia days? Are you totally over there on the West Coast now, or are you going to go back someday? Are you just visiting there? What's the deal with that?
No. I'm ensconced in Oregon land. I love it. It's the revolution, I believe, is going to begin in the West, because these people out here ain't having it.
Right.
You know, west of the Mississippi is where the revolution is. You know, there's been talk over here about forming, you know, for years, their own country called Cascadia. They want out.
Yes. Yeah. But they also have some of the biggest corruption as far as police forces go over there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially when you get down to the Los Angeles Police Department. I mean, that's about as bottom of the barrel gunk you can get.
You know? Yes, it is. there is not much better of a reliable source than whenever something comes out of the LAPD as far as a news item. or I should say yeah. there's nothing more of a worse source.
Well, all of our police forces are being trained right now by Israel. All the major police, they're going, they're sending, you know, their brass over to Israel to be trained, and they're, whilst they're militarizing the police. So, you know, this is going to be, they're going to start treating, well, they already have. We're Palestinians to these people. You know, they're being trained how to treat the Americans as Palestinians. Israelification of the police is what's happening.
Wow. I guess I hadn't heard about that either. I thought...
Look, all you have to do is just Google police forces being trained by Israel, and you'll just get a voluminous amount
of tons
of
articles. Just tons of articles. I thought...
Of accounts in different police departments.
Huh.
A lot of unsuspecting ones, too. You know, some small town. You know, there's... The Fraternal Order of Police is sending people to Israel every year, you know, if not more often, to be trained by the IDF.
Okay. I thought, I don't know if it was true or not, and I still don't know if it's true, but there are a lot of reports that normally come out of, like, Austin, Texas, that a lot
That's
of...
Stratford land.
Stratford, yeah. Well... If you listen to them every day, the Russian and the Chinese army are training here in America on every single police force, just about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've heard accounts of Russian and all, but Stratfor again is arguably very closely linked to one Alex Emmerich Jonestein.
Yes. You're not an Alex Jones fan, are you?
He is what he is. But, you know, he even has one employee who was a Stratfor employee who came over there. You know, I don't want to say that he's deliberate. I think he knows the fine line to where he has to edit, you know, his broadcasts.
Yeah.
As not to step on any toes.
Yeah. I guess there is some sort of a email that's still linked. One of his emails is linked right to Stratford. It goes right to their directory or something like that.
Stratfor is heavy in Israel. I mean,
it's also heavy CIA
too. Mr. Abdesire said, "Yeah, George Freeman, former CIA agent, founded Stratfor. You know, he's Jewish as well."
Sure. Yes, Stratford is also allegedly heavy CIA corporation, too.
Mm-hmm. And the CIA itself, despite what they say, the Anglos, that, you know, CIA is the subsequent agency to the OSS, right? Office of Special Services, or, you know, they used to call it oh so snobby.
Right.
But, I mean, from their inception, there's just heavy Jewish influence all throughout.
And oddly enough, great-grandpappy Bush, Prescott Bush, was one of the men that started up the CIA from the OSS, along with the Dulles brothers.
And the Dulles brothers, yeah. Who did not like Mr. Kennedy.
No, they didn't.
They didn't like Jack.
Hang on a second here. Hi, David. Hello, David. Hello, David. Are you there? David. Huh. Well, I'll try to work this out in a few minutes here.
Yeah.
But this is my next guest coming on. I'm not sure why he called early. I'll try to get back with him a little bit later here. But... Yeah, Aris, I'm trying to read that name, A-R-I-S-I-T-O-L, Aristol, Aris, huh, oh, Aristol, that's what it is, that's the name of his thing there, anyways. I think he called the wrong one anyways. I'm going to try to get him back after this show anyways. But, yeah, we were going on about, I lost track. Where were we?
Ooh, slipped my mind.
I know it had to be something with the Khazarians and the Mossad, Stratford, Alex Jones.
Yeah, well, it's funny how, you know, certain things are ignored. Have you ever heard of one Dov Zakim?
No, I haven't.
Dov Zakim was the comptroller of the Pentagon, and he handled the money. September 10th, I'm sure you're familiar with the infamous
yes.
Donald Rumsfeld clip.
Yes.
The $2.2 trillion. Well, it turned out to be more than that months later, and this is the guy who was controlling this money. And prior to this, Mr. Dov Zakim made a deal with Boeing. Now, his company, Strategic Planning International, I believe, one of their functions was to equip airplanes with remote control and missile systems. So, and if you notice how the missile or the plane that I think it's a missile, fuck what Mike Rivero says. I love him to death, but I don't know. Him and the chemtrail things. Like, what are these things up in the sky, Mr. Rivero? They contrails? What are you, 60 years old? You don't remember what contrails look like? But, you know, I lost my train of thought.
Anyway, no, that's okay. No, you got into chemtrails.
Yeah, before that. But I think my main point was that there's just so much subversion, and they want to throw things at you to bombard and convolute your sense of what's going on, you know?
Oh, yes, they do. Well, it's...
Oh, the missile that hit the Pentagon. Where did that hit?
Right.
It hit the budgetary side.
Well, it hit the area, what's called the forensic economic...
And those who died were from that strike were...
They were...
Know, budget analysis.
Yeah, they were investigating the budget, the $2.3 trillion that was missing. Those were the people that mysteriously got killed.
And that specific side of the Pentagon was, it went under a great big refurbishment and renovation, and they renamed it the Catcher's Mitt.
Yeah. Catcher's Mitt, a fitting name for a missile.
Yeah. I guess they wanted to design it not to go all the way through the Pentagon, you know. They just wanted to make it strong enough to where it penetrates the 9 feet of reinforced concrete.
Right.
Three rings of it.
3 rings of 9 feet of concrete?
3 rings of 3 feet, you know.
3 feet, okay.
9 feet altogether.
Hello, David.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi. You're a few minutes early. I'm still in the first part of the last part of my show. You want to wait?
Okay, well, then I'll come back in at 5 o'clock.
All right, yeah. I'll actually bring you in.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
You'll call me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
Yeah, we only got another minute or so here to go anyway, so I want to thank you for coming on. I know I've had a lot of distractions, I've had like 4 call-ins now. Haven't been
I had fun.
Well, not as much
fun. Too bad
fun.
We couldn't take the call-ins.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to update my Skype.
I don't know.
I really feel in a passionate mood. That's why I wanted the video. I wanted to see people to see the serious look on my face that I'm not bullshitting, and you can go, you know, I don't just pull these things out of my buttocks.
No. No, and there's my music. So I thank you again, Patty Monsanto, for coming on.
Thank you, Mr. Stephen Roberts.
All right, everyone.
We should do it again.
Yes, we shall. And we will get it right next time. Thank you, everyone. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes here.